you hear some stuff that we have to like kind of like swat out of the broadcast. It was strange. We got a call earlier and the guy was like right there, and then all of a sudden he just kind of did this shift, and it was like I'll tell you a funny story. Actually, I've got a book that I'm working on right now. I'll probably make more money from checks people will send me not to publish it than anything that I would ever get from a book sale. But it's about basically it's like adventures in the rock and roll radio business. And on one particular occasion, you know, we were so into it in those days because music was so great and we were so like such a team. It was really, really great stuff. It was the musical version of Coast to Coast. And of course, the wonder was there because I was new at it. I've got this really bad of the bone Pioneer digital FM tuner with the sliding, you slide to adjust the frequencies on your EQ over there and had a big light show on. It was really quite the rage. You know, if you're going to be in the music business, you got to have a good stereo in your car, you know, even if it makes you late on your rent. So I'm listening to the station one night and I thought, what's going on? I don't hear anything. I turned it up. I could hear the air conditioner running in the background. I thought, oh boy, I think I better get over there. And when I went in there, the mic was open. So I just pulled the fader down, put another record on, started playing it, and then the shift change occurred right then. And as the next jock was coming in, I happened to notice something lying on the floor, and it was an empty schnapps bottle. And the last thing that was said, apparently, according to the air check, was, why does this stuff always happen to me? And the job just left the studio. But in those days, everybody kind of understood. It was, we understood that, well, sometimes there's an issue with a highly talented person who plays rock and roll music, so it's okay. Just report to work as usual. It was really quite an amazing time. I don't much think that would work on this program. All right, let's take our little break real quick and then come back with Naked Lines. Yes, they're naked because they're unscreened. We got a bunch of people waiting to talk to you, and that's what's so cool about open lines, because unlike what I just did, I get to talk with you instead of just talking at you. John B. in for George Norrie. We will be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Yes, my man, let's see, yeah, this is Chuck. Chuck says, speaking of the cashless kiosks, wake up and quit feeding the huge corporate monsters. I don't know if I told you this one, but I went down to get a sticker, registration sticker for the car. And this guy says, how are you going to pay for that? And I just slung the card at him, and he said, cost you $4. And I went, I don't care. I won't even buy a gallon of gas, because I was slightly annoyed and just needed to get on with it. He goes, I'll tell you, I'd burn a gallon of gas not to have to pay these guys. I'm like, really? He said, well, yeah. He said, J.P. Morgan Chase put these machines in. We have 40 stations, so they were supposed to stop the charge after the machines were paid for. He goes, with 40 stations, how long do you think it was before the machines were paid for? I said, about 15 minutes. He said, exactly. He said, I don't like it. I said, well, I'm parked right outside. He goes, I will hold your place. I went back and wrote him a check. And I agree. It's not a good scenario, particularly when banks are beginning to tell certain companies that they just don't want their business, or they don't think that they should be selling this or that or the other on the internet. It's like, when did the banks tell the merchant what they can or cannot sell? I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, let us bring onto the bridge Josie. I cannot pronounce the name of the city in Wisconsin. Josie on wild card line number one.
Good evening, John.
Good evening.
As like other people, I think you're a really great host.
Thank you.
But I'm 67 years old, soon to be 68, February 12th, Lincoln's birthday.
Yes.
And I'm kind of an analytical person, and I'm afraid that this culture is so violent, and it always has been. You know, I love Craig B. Hewlett that you had on last night. I tried to get on, but I couldn't get in. I think he's really a great person. But he is a little wrong on the fact about the white male Christian.
Yeah, which part about that? Yeah, a couple of people took issue with that, but I'm not...
The part I'm thinking about is when the Europeans came to this country, how do you think they settled it? By stealing the land?
Well, I don't think they did it by asking nicely.
Right, right. But that's what they did, you know, and they made Custer, for instance, like a hero, and it was proven, we never learned this in school, but it was proven that he killed, shot men, women, and children, Indian people. I don't know about other people, but for sure he did that, but yet we look at him like a hero.
Well, you know, that's why you have these individual heroes that are depicted in these stories that, somehow or another, through circumstance, wound up living with... I call them the originals. Most people call them the Native Americans. And but they're, you know, the mindset was that these aren't really even people. They just look like people. We can annihilate them, and we're not doing any disservice against our God or against nature. We're stronger. They're not human, completely not human like us, so we can just annihilate them. I mean, right. That's crazy now. We would never think of that this way now.
And then, I think that we still do. I mean, they're having trouble in Canada. And also in this area, they're trying to, we have a Republican governor who is running roughshod over environmental issues, and these Indians that live up north here in Wisconsin are so afraid that their water is going to be polluted by these, like iron mines.
Oh, yes.
And they're trumping employment, which they have many doubts that the employment will not come for the people around here, but it'll be just for the mining industry and the people that they have already working for them. And I mean, I could talk to you for a year of all the things that it's just my look also. I've always loved animals since I can remember. And I love the earth. And also my religion is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's my religion.
Yes.
People have perverted that one sentence that man shall have dominion over the earth. They've taken that, and all you have to do, you don't have to take my word for it or anybody else that thinks like me. Just look at the state of the earth. And why do we still have poverty? It's all you cannot fight greed. It's just, I just don't know what to make of humanity. I really, and I don't get the wrong idea. I think there's a lot of good people, but they're not running things.
Well, no, they're not. And
good people don't go around and step on other people's necks.
Well, that's really true. I mean, but there's an element of that everywhere, though, it seems. I mean, this Nordstrom sitting, I mean, let's just jump around here. Hang with me for a second. This Nordstrom hostage situation in L.A., a hostage was sexually assaulted, one stabbed, two people come in there, put 14 hostages into a storage area. What happened to one of them? One of the suspects left the store, saw police, ran back inside. A second one walked out with an unidentified woman, saw police, headed back into the store. The police came in at 3:30 in the morning, freed 14 people, employees and possibly customers huddled in a storage room. The same criminal element that does this just does it on a, it's the same criminal element that does this on a grander scale. But you're right, you know, if you look back over our history, it makes you wonder that anything works as well as it does, given all of the wars and deliberate annihilation of peoples. But again, you go back to the oldest writings on Earth, and they say, oh, well, that's because the bad guy runs the world. That's just how it is. The bad guy, the Satan, the devil, the negative force, the dark one, the whatever, the evil... Evil runs the earth. We are here to make choices and fight against that evil. I really believe that because evil is potentially everywhere. If you're not prepared to fight it, then you either have to be victimized by it or you have to accept it and become it. But maybe that's just simplistic.
Well,
Know what I mean? Anyway, thank you very, very much for your call. Let's talk to Joe. Joe in Detroit. Joseph, are you there?
John B. Wells, man. Finally, it's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours. What you got on your mind?
You know, a lot of things, John. First of all, the country singer that lady. What's her name?
That was Jillian with a G. Jillian Welch, and that song was "Tear My Stillhouse Down."
Tear my field house down.
Still, you know, where she keeps her still to make her liquor.
Stillhouse, gotcha.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I went, what does this say? Okay, Stillhouse. All right, fine. And it's a great song, don't you think? Sorry?
I'm sorry, what's her last name? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, John.
Well, oh, I'm sorry I stepped on you. Welch, W-E-L-C-H.
Okay. Yeah, John, we share a lot of the likes. I remember I'm 62, working construction with that big F-250.
Yeah.
Driving out west and down south in that red earth, man. I used to have suede cowboy boots, just tan, and I'd go through Oklahoma and Arizona and just slap that red mud on, because once it dries, it tanned my boots red.
Yeah, that's it.
John, I agree with the, well, I'll just say I've connected the dots. You know, a person who has eyes can hear, and their eyes can see and ears to hear. You just look at what's happening, and it's just all lines up. You know, from Kennedy, incrementally worse with this tragedy in Connecticut. And it's made me, day before yesterday, you had a guest on, and this is our country, man. This is my country. You know, I took it for granted, and now, you know, I just waited. You know, when the first ugly rearage of coming to take the guns, and here it is, man. And I can imagine how people, as this lady was animating, you know, Indians, our freedom fighters during the Revolution. Nobody wanted to go out there and fight. They wanted to be with their families. They
of
wanted
course.
To be, you know, go, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, of course, you're right. Keep going.
Yeah. And if called a war, I'm sure a lot of them cried, man. I'm sure a lot of them, you know, looked and hugged their wives and they said, but we have no choice. They sucked it up and they fought. And, you know, I'm here on 8 Mile and I-75 area near the war zone, man. And this is a buffer area. And what you see here, I know I'm all over the place here. What you see here are jaundice-colored skins. You see tattoos covering the whole bodies here with most people. Most importantly, the eyes and the way people, there's just a sense of defeatism and death, man. And, you know, you look at the website, the K Detroit. You know, besides this happy news that they got going on down here, and this giggle, giggle, and the only person they seem to always, I mean, the reality is that you look at here, and then you can see what's coming and what is. With the family, what the gentleman talked about, you know, what's going on. Well, Ozzy and Harriet.
Yeah.
The Beaver, the Donna Reed Show, those kind of things were an insomnia at the end of the 60s.
Yes.
You know, I'm like you, man. The wonderment of the music. Every time you got up in the morning, man, and then they had a new sound from the 50s on up to, you know, the soul and the rhythm and blues during the early 60s, then the Beatles. Then you hit the right end of the AM dial and you got some down-home blues and jazz. I mean, my God, every year the car was different. I mean, this is our country. And these people, they want to I can't even say steal it or rob it. They want to kill it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a choice now. You know, it's good to come out and smell the flowers and while we can. And look at the stars down here. Well, you know, with all the light down here, it's hard, but I look for them. I take pictures every now and then when I can see them. And you got to keep the faith, man. I mean, you know, that guy talking about Buddhism and this during the Crusades, well, and then the people that came over here from England, they're crooks. They're criminals, man. A true man of God would have done this stuff. And they suffered in the path of these idiots. You know, people
yes.
in the camps and with the fires and their beautiful way of living with the earth. Then here comes these monsters, you know, out west with the Cheyenne or the Sioux or all these tribes. It's just like that lady said, put the boot on the neck. So
yes.
I love you, John. And every time I hear that that you're on, it's the John B. Wells night.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. I really appreciate that a lot. You have no idea what that means. It really does. That's I appreciate that, my brother. Much love to you, too. That stuff comes from the heart. You can't buy that. And if that's the way the man feels, then I'm okay with it. You know, it's interesting. Going back to a call we had a little bit ago, talking about the 81 treasonously inclined ones that do nothing in our Senate. I'm not trying to address the numbers. He was obviously, regardless of the number, it's a measurable percentage of them. Over the years, I really have looked at many things as far as warfare is concerned, because depending on how you look at it, it's all a war. It's a soft war. It's a hard war. It's a cold war. It's a hot war. But from Sun Tzu to the Romans to Alexander, Napoleon, Wellington, Rommel, when you look at the source of the leadership, I mean, I actually read Adolf's book, Mein Kampf. It's like, what's all this about Mein Kampf? I got a real 1939, 1940 edition and read it. It's tedious, but I read it. And I read a second book, My New Order, about the speeches. And where propaganda and motivation was concerned, he had a straight flush. One of his biggest complaints, he said, when he would go to the government building to observe the parliament in Vienna, he noticed that when anybody interesting got up there to say anything, the majority of the men in that body would start to go to sleep, or they'd leave, or they'd do something else, but they would not pay attention. And the thing that really grabbed his attention was that there was so little being done by way of governance and doing anything for the people. He just perceived them as a bunch of, you know, self-aggrandizing, self-enriching slobs, and he hated them. Now, of course, this ideology morphed into something really horrible later that dragged, 50 million, and by the time it was all over, about 100 million people to their doom. So I'm not saying this was some sort of a great guy. What I'm saying is, this is what was permitted to happen. Let's use another word. This is what was enabled. This was the fire set that started Adolf down the road to what he did. A do-nothing set of legislators that just went along with things until the people suffered enough and they would accept an Adolf Hitler. It's happened before. You've heard it a million times. He or she who forgets the past is doomed to repeat it. Well, sometimes I think a case can be made for a cliche to be something that at one time made a great deal of sense. More of your calls later. It's a delight to be talking with you tonight on Naked Line Friday. John B. Wells in for George Norrie, who will be back on Monday. This is Coast. Thank you very much. Delighted to be in for George Norrie tonight. A lot of people out there drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and that's fine. Just remember, moderation in all things, and if you're an illegally designated area for that, well, remember, there's many men, many women in the Who's Gal for drinking a little drink and smoking a little smoke, so watch out out there. Polly, I believe, from Buffalo, New York, has been on the telephone line, the East of the Rockies line, for a little bit too long, so let's talk to Polly. How are you tonight?
Hey, God bless you, George, the listeners, and nothing beats a show where you're sharing information, you know, with a generous spirit. It's awesome.
Well, Mia, you be blessed as well, my dear. What's on your mind tonight?
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be real quick, and I got a quick question to ask you at the end. Okay. I want to say I think our rapidly increasing tyranny in our government is really from our lack of vigilance in defending life and liberty and rejecting our Judeo-Christian roots, not only in government, but in the public schools and the media, the parents. And I just, it's 40 years now since we sanctioned the sacrifice of human babies, and that it's at least one of six of us, if you look around, they're missing. And we have so many walking wounded women from this. And is Oregon and Washington just legalized assisted suicide. And I just want to say, in regard to the pain medicine, with what you were saying with Bloomberg, I think you had a caller yesterday, a man saying that he was being denied his pain medicine, but declassified information from documents from Kissinger said that once people see what a painful way it is to die, meaning by withholding food and fluids, like Terry Schiavo, they will gladly accept the injection. And I'll say right now in the UK, with their national health care
pathway.
Yeah, yes, the Liverpool Care Pathway. They are killing, euthanizing the elderly through withholding food and water. And last year, 30% of the hospital deaths were from the euthanized elderly. I mean, that is just makes you want to scream. So this is health. This is national health care. But I just, whatever our rapidly increasing dreadful stuff that's coming, whether it's the HHS mandate, which I think a lot of people aren't really paying much attention. I know they are with the Second Amendment, but with the government getting in the way of the religious liberty, the NDAA, the FEMA camps and such, whatever the problems are, really trusting in our Lord and praying and respecting and defending life, all life. That's really our hope. That's the most we can do aside for just your basic common sense, food, water, preparation, that type of stuff. But my question is, I'm hoping that most of the Congress that voted yay on the NDAA didn't read it, just like the health care bill. And then, so do you suppose that might be the case, although I don't know if it really matters that much at this point. But, and then also, do you think a lot of folks realize that our sheriffs have the ability to deputize us, and they may be, like our military, a big factor in defending our freedoms? And
did you happen to catch that bit with Craig Hewlett last night? We talked about the sheriffs and their power.
Oh, great, great. And then just the last thing is, do you share the concern that I do, that with a lot of people believing about the UFOs and aliens, that with the things our government can do right now and the deceit they have in their hearts, that many of us may be deceived, where something may really be demonic or government, and think that it's maybe, you know, our hope and our salvation. So that's something that I do worry about. And I know if we study, we try to read Scripture and Revelation, it does say that when the end times come, when Jesus comes, for those who believe, it will be in the clouds. So anything before that, the Antichrist is going to have the power to maybe bring down fire from the sky or make a beast come to life or things like that. So
those are very interesting questions. Don't hang up. I want to talk to you some more. Hang out with us a little bit. You stayed on hold for a long time. Right now, I just saw a news report today of this gigantic carbon fiber, very high-tech, very high-altitude blimp. This thing can lift like 60 tons of gear, and they're looking at it as like, yes, we're going to float 60 tons of gear at a time all over the place on these wafting airships. Here's the thing. If we are seeing these now, that means that we've had them for 30, 40 years. That's what it means. And I would suspect that these black triangles, like the one my dear old mother saw, for example, going right down the highway, I said, toward Carswell Air Force Base. And she said, well, yes, I suppose so. Tell me about it, Ma. Enormous, triangular lights at each corner. at each corner. Yeah, it was a giant triangle. I suspect those are long time in service, high altitude observation craft of the lighter than air variety. Why? Because they just rolled out this one for us to see, which tells me this is not the first one that they built. As far as deception is concerned, I don't know. I am involved in a program called Unsealed Alien Files. And in one of the episodes, it discussed the appearance of little flying saucers, strange little balls in Christian art starting like the 1400s. They suggested that during the Black Plague of London, outside of London, men were seen. They were presumed to be men. They couldn't see their faces, but they were in these black hooded garments. And, of course, you know, there was some speculation that are these the original Men in Black? The fact of the matter is, I don't know, which is why this is such a wonderful program to be associated with, because we can talk about this stuff. You're not going to hear about this on mainstream. You know, somebody will say, you're mainstream, you work for Premier. It's like, no. I challenge anyone to say that they hear the stories that we talk about on this program on anything that's otherwise identifying itself with mainstream. So I don't know, but a strong case could be made for it. Do I think that that there was an alien king that ruled over Egypt? Well, maybe. Do I think maybe there was alien assistance in building the pyramids? Looks like a pretty strong case could be made for it. I doubt very seriously if it just spontaneously burst into existence right there. So the answer is, I believe that mankind, certain elements within mankind, are so far advanced in the what we would call the evil department, that even if it were not some sort of an external entity that's totally alien to what we know of as a life form on this planet that we live on, I believe that we could certainly, we could execute actions that would certainly do until the evil alien space creatures got here, including fire from the sky. Now, is that too long of an answer, or does that kind of cover what you were wanting to know?
No, perfect. And from what you're saying, from what so many of your callers are saying, it just really hits me that aside for trying to be prepared, we can only do so much. We have no idea. Like, we know our soldiers are not going to turn on us, but who's to say the floodgates of Chinese soldiers may not come in and help our government or our so-called, you know, government. I mean, there's so many things we don't know which way to turn our heads. There's no really safe place to flee to. This stuff happening, it's worldwide. So really, we need to really just try to trust in God, do the common sense things with food, water, and like what you were saying earlier. And from what a lot of your callers are saying, it's not, I mean, protecting our mind, keeping our wits about us, keeping calm, and, you know, trying to think rational in crisis. I think that's going to be, you know, some of our biggest helps. And so many things can happen. We have no idea, but we all sense it's coming fast. So that's where I think we really need to start maybe, you know, praying hard. You know,
well, I think maybe you're right about that. What a delightful little chat. Thank you so much for holding on for so long.
I love your show and what all you guys are doing. If it weren't for this program and talk radio, where would we be right now? Wow.
Farther down the road than we ever imagined we could be, to wake up and go, wow, this is strange and different. Not good. Thank you very much for being there. You are a treasure to us. It's a pleasure to be in with you tonight. Dan, did we take the break or not? I don't think we did we? We did not take it. Correct? I'm getting too caught up in talking to people to keep up with what I'm doing. It'll get better. We're going to take our break now and come back with some more of your calls on the Naked Lions Friday night. John Wells in for George Norrie. Tomorrow night on the program, we're going to speak with Larry Kelly. He'll be a first-time guest. I love our regular guests and the recurring ones, but I really like talking with first-time guests because they bring something new to the party, and his book is Lessons from Fallen Civilizations. Larry Kelly, KELLEY.com. You might want to check it out between now and then. And so, without further ado, let us carry on with you as our broadcaster, our fellow broadcaster, Jesse in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Are you there on wild card line number three?
How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Mutual.
I would just like to first address the
the topic that seems to be hot on everybody's plate, you know, this, all the school violence and the, you know, gun control debate.
Yep. Everybody's sick of it, but it, unfortunately, it's here to stay for a little while.
Yeah, it really is a shame. But I truly believe that we could cut out about, I'd say, reduce it by about 85% of school shootings if the media would just simply stop reporting these people's faces and their names and quit portraying them out to be some kind of superstar. I mean, I actually saw something on TV where a host was recapping the school shooting in Connecticut and made a comment that the shooter was only, like, per se, six bodies short of the all-time record,
which,
in my view, was pretty disgusting.
It's completely disgusting.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you something, and I really mean this. I believe that people, whether they're hunting animals or whether they're hunting and or warring or preying upon or even defending themselves against human beings, I believe that the death of a human being is a horrible thing. Even the ones who have committed heinous acts and are guilty, it's still disgusting to have to dispatch somebody, you know?
Yes,
I've heard it said that the aliens regard human bodies as just bubbles. You're just popping bubbles, no big deal. Which is just, that speaks volumes about them, if there's any truth to it at all. But let me make a proposition to you. You just mentioned something about making superstars out of these people. Now, given that subjecting someone to execution is a disgusting thing, and there are many people who do not like this. However, one is generally, I would say, the vast percentage of people who have had their loved ones victimized are all kinds of behind executing the perpetrator once caught and convicted by a jury of their peers, whatever that is these days. So what do you think about this? What about public hangings? I'm serious about this. I'm just asking. You know, it's like, look, there will be not even a trap door. You're not going to, no, you will suffer a humiliating death in public. You will not be made a superstar. You can go out there and commit these heinous acts, but when we catch you, this is your fate. If this is your idea of 15 seconds of fame, you can have it. Do you think that would be any kind of a deterrent, or do you think it would be a draw for geeks, much like auto racing was and airplane flying was back in the early days of both of those activities?
No, I mean, I believe you brought up an interesting point, you know, and a lot of people would look at this and say, you know what I mean, how can he say that, you know, in this day and age, hanging somebody is just so cruel. But, I mean, I think it would, of course, have to be some kind of deterrent. I mean, if you know what your fate is going to be, you're not going to be, like, slowly put to sleep. You're going to be, like, hung in public in your hometown to boot.
That's not a good look for anybody.
I'm sorry?
I say that's not a good look for anybody, being hanged by the neck in public in your hometown. That's not good.
No, not at all, you know? But I would think it has to be a deterrent. See, I believe that, honestly, like, I'm 22 years old, and I believe that my generation and the generation that's come before me, I mean, it's completely corrupted nowadays. I mean, parents aren't, you know, very hard on their kids. You know, if you get into, you know, somebody pushes you down or something anymore, it's, you know, let's talk to the principal and, you know, so be it. Instead of, you know, throwing a few fists and getting expelled for a few days. And these kids want to sit in front of their Xboxes all day long. I mean, I don't necessarily think that the violent video games have anything to do with it, you know, but, like, I mean, still, just sitting in front of there, no physical activity. I mean, it's all a big mess, but.
Yeah, you know, back in school, back when I was in school, I don't know if you had this. If you did, please tell me. But we were in mortal fear of particularly the assistant principal. And there was always one PE coach that was like the most serious. If you got cross with him, if you started playing wipeout on the baskets in the locker room, in a minute, you'd be called out there and you'd have a board put across your backside, which was enough to lift a, you know, 150, 60 pound guy off the ground. Did you have, and guess what? You didn't do that anymore. I mean, you didn't have to get, we called them licks, and you wouldn't have to get licks but once or twice to go, I don't think I should do this anymore because that was really unpleasant. Andy did it in front of the whole class. Of course, now some of those morons was like a badge of honor. I just got my rump beaten by the coach. But these were idiots that were that everybody knew just by looking at them, like the Tom Petty song. You got criminal looks, and they were underachievers in school, and you knew they were going to wind up dead or in jail before they reached their prime. You knew it, and they did. Yeah. Did you have that paddling thing at your school?
Well, actually, it's interesting. I went to school in Tennessee, and they had a thing that you could take home and get signed.
Yeah.
And instead of in-school suspension, or I guess it was after-school suspension, something, you could actually take licks. Now, I haven't heard about anything like that up north, or you know what I mean? I don't know if it was just kind of based upon the area or what, but we had that option. So,
well, you know, people will say
it was an option.
Right. Well, it wasn't an option. It was like, get over here and grab your ankles, pal.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was. I remember one time I was in the fifth or sixth grade, sixth grade. And I was like, oh no, it's the principal. He's mean. He's got a reputation for being mean. I like put on four pairs of underwear and then put, you know, pads of toilet paper in there. So the guy that we were just having a little tussle out there after school. Somebody ratted us out. And so we got in trouble with the principal and he's going to give us licks. And he drug it out. He tormented us with the prospect of getting licks for like 3 days. Then we go down into the boiler room, and there we are. So Jerry, he goes first, and it's like whack, whack, whack. When the principal turned his paddle against my backside, it went boom. He said, wow, that sounded like a shotgun. You got any padding in there? I'm like, oh, no, I don't think so. And he's like, he knew what I'd done, but it's like there was a distinctively different sound when that board struck my backside. Let me ask you something. What's the state of man today? As a 22-year-old, what's the... Listen, in the background, it's the national anthem.
No, that was me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, state of a 22-year-old man today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's became, like, interesting because, you know, like, I think that today, like, you know, over the years, I mean, you know, the, like, even like G.I. Joes and stuff, I know have gotten like proportionally bigger and they're muscular, you know, components and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like, there's also like, you know, the side of society that it's okay to be soft today. You know, it's okay to be emotional. It's okay. And I believe that stuff is okay. But I mean, among young men, you're supposed to be the tough guy. You know, you're not supposed to let people pick on you. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, it's getting harder and harder. It seems like, you know, some kids, they have no hope, you know? So they want to go out there and prove themselves. And the next one wants to talk the one before that.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you tonight. And I'm delighted to have a young man in his early 20s with us on the program. Thank you very, very much for your call. And thanks to everybody who's joining the program tonight. We have many more calls to get to, and what good calls they are. When I say I love you people, I mean it. John B. in for George Norrie, who will be back on Monday. This is Coast to Coast AM.